Hi, my name is Jeffrey Felder, and it's been laid on my heart to share with you a story. A story of joy, a story of pain, a story of suffering. Early in my childhood, I developed a poor self-image. I was dominated by negative emotions. What people said about me, I believe it was true. I actually thought what people said about me was true. My personal appearance, people said I was ugly, so I believe I was ugly. I had a very negative complex about myself. My speech was not like everybody else. I had a very bad speech impediment when I was little. I stutter very bad. My eyes, I didn't like my eyes. I was being teased by the color of my eyes. Some people would call me the green-eyed monster. Some people even called me the devil. My intellectual status was very poor. I didn't think I was very smart at all. So I developed all these negative thoughts, and they became forges. They became like they had a hold on me. I really couldn't shape what was going on. It was bigger than I could handle. I needed a change in my life. I needed something to ease my pain. I needed something to fill the void. I needed something to change my mood. I noticed one thing. I noticed there was always one thing present, and that was the presence of alcohol. I always noticed that when I get around my family or older people or my friends, brothers, or people just I just associate myself with, I noticed that alcohol was always around. I noticed that when people first, before they took their first drink, they was normal. And after they took like three or four drinks, they became exceedingly happy. It was like a mood change. And I saw that change in them. And I wanted what they had. So as time went on, as I became older enough, as I became old enough to get away with it. So when it came for that time for me to take a drink, when it came for that time for me to hang out on the corner on Friday nights, when it'd be seven of us hanging around the corner drinking out of a 32-ounce bottle, seven people on one bottle, I couldn't wait for that bottle to be passed around to me. My hand was the first hand out. Before the bottle even came my way, my hand was out, ready and willing and able to take that first drink. I took the first drink, and I became like I saw the rest of the people. I started laughing. The pain has went away. I saw a change in me. I started to be a different person. I started to cuss. I started to act a fool. As long as I was acting a fool, people loved me. I love to act like a fool because people love me. So every time I drank, I knew that I would act like a fool. And that's what I did all through junior high school. But that was like the beginning of my end. The alcohol is the mother of all drugs. I started with alcohol, but in late in junior high school, it developed to marijuana. And then as I got in high school, it turned over to PCP. And then a couple of years after high school, I ran into a brick wall. I ran into something that took a hold of me, something that controlled my very soul. It had my mind. It took me to places no one should be able to go. That drug was crack cocaine. Every drug has a spirit, I believe. When I used to drink, it was like a spirit was over me. It was like I used to be bold, and I would want to fight anybody and everybody. And I like to dance. I like to be the life of the party when I drink. It made me bold. It was a spirit of boldness. When I smoked marijuana, it made me laugh. It made me think that I was cool. It made me eat up everything in the house. It made me sleepy. When I smoked PCP, which was a real, I don't know why I did that. That was the most silliest drug in the world, is PCP. Found out that it was horse tranquilizer. They embalmed dead people with it. And I'm smoking it. It was a real stupid drug. It made me hallucinate. But after PCP, crack cocaine. That drug came to kill. Crack cocaine will kill you physically. It comes to straight up kill you, to put you in the grave. Crack cocaine comes to steal everything that you ever obtained, everything that you ever accomplished, every material thing that you ever acquired. It will steal it away from you. Crack cocaine comes to destroy. It will destroy every relationship that you ever built. Relationships with your mother, relationships with your brother, relationships with your friends. It comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, crack cocaine dominated my life. I just couldn't stop. So, I lost my apartment. My first apartment I ever had, I lost. Because I lost my sense of priorities. I got my priorities backwards. It was out of control. My mind was twisted and distorted. The drug took full control over me. So I lost my apartment and I became homeless. Sleeping on the streets of Washington, D.C. Sleeping in the park. Sleeping on the cement floor. Sleeping anywhere I could. I used to sleep in an abandoned van, a handicapped van, and I was handicapped. My life I just couldn't believe it. And I couldn't help myself either, because I was not in control anymore. The drug was in control. I could not believe I was not raised this way. My mother and father didn't teach me these things, they didn't install these values in me, and I just had to drink more. I had to have more cocaine to cover up the feelings that I initially was covering up. I was drinking and smoking more to cover up the guilt and shame of drinking and smoking. Over the top of the pain of rejection and loneliness and guilt. So I was homeless for several months. This became my home. This became my apartment. Every night, this is where I used to sleep. And this over here was my bathroom. This is where I washed up and took care of my
personal hygiene. Oh, this is another one of my residents. I used to sleep right here on the cement ground. I still remember some days I'd be so drunk and so full of drugs, I'll just pass out right here, just like your ordinary bum. Nothing different. I wasn't different from any other bum. I was a regular old bum. I used to drink and fall out on the cement. Like you see people in front of the liquor store. They just pass out drunk. That's how I was. Well, this used to be my storage area. Well, as you can see now, it seems like to me that somebody is sleeping here right now. You have clothes here, you have shoes, you even have videotapes. Well, this is where I used to hide all my so-called worldly possessions. You know, such as my clothes, my shoes, you know, all my personal earthly belongings that I ever had. I used to store them here and hide them here and go out and do my day-to-day business, which was my main job was to look and search for drugs. You know, it was always my hope and it was always my dream. I longed for the day where I could come out the wilderness. I never thought that I could ever come out the wilderness. I longed for the day where I could come out of the darkness into the light. I look back on it now.
Then I got involved with some people where they took me in. I found shelter. But one thing about this shelter, it wasn't a home. To be honest with you, it was a crack house. I stayed there for about 8 months. My main mission in that crack house was to get high every day. That's what one place that everybody came to get high, and I can always be high. Not realizing, not even realizing what I was doing. I had no grip on reality. I could always stay medicated. I could always stay just pain-free, constantly smoking crack cocaine. Well, it came a time where I was accused of stealing drugs from the people in the crack house. I got evicted from a crack house. It might sound funny, but you know, that was the lowest point of my life, being evicted from a crack house. You know, how low can you go? You know, I've been thrown out of a lot of places, but they actually threw me out of a crack house. And when they threw me out, I mean, that was the lowest point in my life. Because, you know, I really didn't care being out on the streets because I was used to that. It was just the point that I had no means of getting my drugs. You know, that was my main source of drugs. So, got kicked out of the crack house, so I was homeless again. And by the way, I did steal them drugs. I stole a lot of them, too. This place was like a home to me. This was my home. This place kind of looked like how I felt. Condemned, lonely, lifeless, and cold. So I went back to my my home, my park, sleeping on the cement benches and my abandoned handicapped bus. I returned back to my original home. Until one day, drug dealers spotted me. I had owed money. The drugs I stole from the house was theirs. So they beat me almost to death. They beat me with a gun handle, a sawed off the butt of a sawed off shotgun. They beat me in my head, fractured my skull. You couldn't recognize my face. My face was so bloody. They fractured my leg. You know, they almost killed me. I don't know why. I don't know why they just didn't shoot me. I found out later. But that took me to the hospital, and they beat me so bad, I had to go to the hospital. And in the hospital, I said, you know, I think you really need some help, brother. Because, you know, I almost died, so I sought help. I told the people in the hospital that I was a drug addict, and people were trying to kill me, and I need shelter, I need help. So they advised me to go into a drug treatment program. So I was accepted into a drug treatment program. There I stayed clean and sober for 8 months. I was clean and sober. But guess what came back up? Them same thoughts that I was drinking to all my life, they came back up, and they came back strong. I couldn't believe it. I said, yeah, you know, I realized that drugs was just a cover-up to suppress your feelings, a cover-up to ignore what is the core problem. The core problem is dealing with your feelings. It's dealing with these thoughts. And as much as I did drugs, I could never get rid of I could never get rid of my thoughts. I had to deal with them, but I just didn't know how to deal with them. I relapsed.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to beat this addiction. So, my habit grew. It grew out of control. It got to a point one day I spent all my rent money up again, and I was on my way to being homeless again. And I could not believe that I did something I thought I would never ever do. I had a taste of homelessness, and yet I'm on the verge of being homeless again. I remember it was a Saturday night. I went into my rent money that I had saved, and I spent it all again. But this time was different. This time was not like the rest of the times. This time a feeling of peace came over me. It was a characteristic that told me that everything that was going to be okay this time. But it was soon counteracted by a negative characteristic that told me, this is it for you. Said, Jeff, you gave it your best shot. You tried all you could try. I mean, you did what you can do. You went to treatment, you got your job, and yet you're about to be homeless again. You tried everything you can try. Now it's time to die. Now it's time to kill yourself. I thought about it. I got home. I was in my bed. But yet, I still had a sense of peace about me. So when I woke up that next morning, that feeling of peace was still in me. I didn't know where it was coming from. But that feeling, it led me to pray. That feeling told me to get down on my knees and pray. And you know, after 15 years, I never thought about praying. I never felt the need to be praying. And what good is it gonna do me? But you know, I had a choice to make. You know, I tried everything else. I tried women, I tried drugs, I tried NA, I tried AA. Nothing seemed to help me. So I had a choice. Try Jesus or be a bum. I weighed the cost. Try Jesus or be a bum. Well, I'm here to tell you, I tried Jesus. You know, I just got tired of being a bum. So before I got down on my knees, I said to myself, self, you know, this would be a good time to prove Christianity and God to be a fake, because I never did believe it in the first place. I believe it. I just believed that, you know, the preacher was getting rich. It was just something made up. So I have a chance to prove this Jesus to be a fake. So I got down on my knees crying like a baby. My heart was open. And I truly believe the day that's when God works with you, when your heart is truly open. So I got down on my knees and I asked God. The first thing I asked God to do was take away these drugs and take away these alcohol. That's the first thing I asked him to do. I asked him that I wanted Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I confessed out of my mouth that Jesus Christ was Lord. I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead on the third day. I said that prayer. It took me about 3 minutes. I wasn't a mighty man of God. I didn't know too much, but thank God I knew enough to call on the name of Jesus. And today, you know, I will never forget that 3-minute prayer I said, because I went to sleep that Saturday, but I rose on that Sunday. And after I said my prayer, I went to church, and then I had to go to work, and then I had to get off. I had to come back through that same old neighborhood. I was being put to the test to see what I was going to put into action, what was in my heart, what I really said to God. So on my way home, about a block before I got home, if you're addicted to crack cocaine, there's a craving that comes in the pit of your stomach, and it pulls you. And then all kinds of thoughts come in your mind saying, we need it. Let's go get at least a dime bag of crack cocaine. All we need is one, for I know today that one is too many and 1,000 is never enough when you're dealing with crack cocaine. So I was walking up the street, and the negative characteristic came over me and told me, we need it. But this time was different. There was something stronger pulling me. The negative was pulling me this way, but this time I had a backup. It was something stronger pulling me. Who can come in a strong man's house but a stronger man? The Spirit of the Lord was upon me. By grace, I made it home. I got in my apartment, closed the door, sweat was all over my face. It was like I was in a battle. You know, I knew nothing about spiritual warfare, but that night I was in battle and the Lord was on my side. So I went to sleep for the first time in 15 years. I went to sleep drug free. Every day of my life, I at least had a drink or drug in me. But this was the first night that I went to bed. And I woke up that morning, the first place I headed to was the mirror. I looked at myself. I said, I can't believe it. I say, it's done. It is finished. Oh, what a glorious day that was. I looked myself in the mirror. I said, you did it last night. You can do it tonight. And you can do it the rest of your life with the help of the Lord. I started reading. I cultivated a relationship with our Lord and Savior, a personal relationship. Cultivating means to work at something and keep working at it. As long as I kept seeing results, I kept working at it. I started reading the Bible 2 hours a day. I started reading the Bible 3 hours a day. I started reading the Bible 4 hours a day. I started hanging out with Jesus. Jesus became my best friend. I was so persuaded. I still can't get over today. You know, I was in darkness and now I'm in lightness. All my old habits started to fade away, and it was just even my old cigarette habit that I had for 15 years.
With all my might, I tried to stop this crack cocaine. And I know that the only thing that is going to deliver a person from crack cocaine is divine intervention from God Himself. The reason why I relapsed is because I separated myself from drugs and alcohol unto fornication. You cannot separate yourself from darkness unto darkness. You have to separate yourself from darkness unto lightness. If you ever see me walking down the street, if you ever see me crying, don't you worry about me. Because when I think of His goodness and how He set me free, sometimes I cry.
If the words of my testimony means anything to anybody, I ask that you take it as a rope and you grab and pull on it. You can pull yourself out of darkness into the light. And to the ones who have all light, who is Jesus Christ. If you can identify with my story, if you are going through what I went through with drugs and alcohol, or if you just choose to live a better life, you don't have to wait to Sunday to give your life to Jesus. You can give your life to Christ right now. So when you go to church on Sunday, you'll be ready. You'll be all ready. If you just bow your heads with me right now in prayer. God, my Father in heaven. Oh, Father, I confess my sins. I realize, Lord, that I'm incomplete. I need you to make me whole, Father. I confess out of my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe He is Lord, and I want Him to be Lord over my life. And I believe that you raised Him from the dead on the third day. And I would like for you to raise me from the dead, Father. I ask you this, Lord, in Jesus' name. I will continue to follow in your leadership in Christ, being rooted, built up, and established in the faith. I thank you for adopting me into the household of faith and for everlasting life. I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Congratulations. You have just been delivered. You have eternal life now.